Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
All right, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population U, we've got a great guest on the show today.
Holy smokes.
I mean, this is an old friend of ours, someone who has made us laugh so much through the years on TV and then just in person.
Yeah.
Keegan Michael Key, what's
yes!
up,
guys? Even in person I've done it?
You have done it in person.
You do it like up close magic.
I am a prestidigitation. What's that word? Prestidigitation? What's the word?
Prestidigitation.
Comedic prestidigitator.
I just want
white. That's it. That's my one big word for that.
Don, you're good.
Yeah. If I could bring this together and you having connections in your life to both white and black, can we at one point just switch the way white people experienced up close magic and black people experienced up close magic? For once, I just want to see like a couple, like from like Connecticut WASPy couple, see someone do an up close magic thing and then just run
and
away.
And then get up and
just
run away and scream and scream the whole time. Y'all are demons. Y'all are demons. He a demon.
The demons.
See, that's some shit. Right? I love it. You saw Harrison Ford. You saw what Harrison Ford
yeah,
did, right?
Yeah.
When David, was it David Blaine?
Yes, it was David Blaine. In his kitchen.
Get the fuck out of my house.
He's got that one little earring.
And he just goes, and it's not that little. It's just like, okay, Harrison, we get it, buddy. You're still cool. And everybody loves you.
He just goes, yeah.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I just literally, just want white people just to be running away,
running down the street and screaming, No, I believe in Jesus. That's magic.
No.
Favorite is when that person then cuts between the magician and the camera to be like, you saw that!
Right.
You saw it!
Right.
Just to the camera.
Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Now you got that on camera, right?
Tell me you got that.
Please tell me you got that on camera. Y'all need to get that camera up closer because that's not real. You can't do that. That's a wizard. He a wizard.
He going to hell.
That's exactly it. You going to hell. You need some Jesus.
I'm praying for your ass.
I'm going to pray for you because you're going straight to hell because you a demon. You got hand demon.
Oh.
But honestly, for me, watching those moments, because how much pure, real moment, like we talked about it before with you in terms of sports and stuff, that's like one of the last pure, true moments. Actually, it's one of the reasons why I loved watching Key and Peele so much is that you guys on stage, I know not everything was 100% fully worked out and written out so that you could surprise each other.
Exactly.
There were moments in the live thing where you set it up, and this is why I think Jay and I love you guys so much as a team doing comedy, okay? Is that you guys, when you would do it together, very much similar to us, is that we would leave it open. So that if you surprise the person, that's a real moment.
Yeah.
You don't see those on TV that much.
Because the only thing you really, I think part of the equation that people don't understand is, I'll take surprise over super clever writing every day.
Yeah.
But then you have, there are things that exist in our world, things like Veep.
Mm-hmm.
Veep is the is a project that's the perfect blend, amalgam of both those things. Where the writing is sharp, fun, caustic, exciting,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time they're writing into the structure of a script surprise
and open moments
where you can see and sometimes the open moments aren't from the actors. The actors may know exactly what they're doing. It's that docu mockumentary drama
and
catches that, because you weren't expecting that. I never knew I was going to see that.
Yes.
And then you go, oh, okay, there. So anytime you see good comedy, anything that makes you laugh out loud in your house by yourself is a surprise.
Especially also too, like comics, when we get caught off guard by that, because a lot of times we can see where this
where
is
going.
When it comes from left and hits you like that, that's the best
feeling. But I know you love that because there are moments in Keanu that even like were surprisingly fun, that I was like, okay, that was a moment in the take where they got each other.
Right, exactly, right. And we did, because there's no way.
There's no way.
Because you wouldn't have thought to zag it that way.
Right.
So you say, okay, what we'll do is this, and then we'll surprise the audience with that. No. Now, sometimes by design, you try to do that.
Right,
the only time I could think of it being super, super, super successful when we were trying to do it was the very first sketch we ever did, which is the two guys standing on the street, and one guy's talking black.
Oh, my God, I love that.
Right? So you don't expect, no one, it's so funny because Jordan and I.
First time I saw it, I never expected that. It was so funny.
And the reason that it worked also is because Jordan and I come from a very narrow bandwidth of American society. Mm-hmm. So if you're biracial, you're probably going to go, I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yes.
But if you're not, you don't. Black or white, if you're not
I
us,
didn't see it.
You don't see
I
that coming.
I did not see it, and it was such a great surprise.
And so the other one was the movie hecklers. And Jordan always used to say, he made up this really great term, comedic judo. It's use people's expectations against them. So we wanted people at the beginning of the sketch, this movie heckler sketch. Remember that sketch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So you want people at the beginning of the movie heckler sketch to go, this is so stupid. I've seen this
a million times.
Black guys talking in a movie theater. I get it. I've seen this 100 times. And then go, aha, but you've never seen auteurs.
Right.
or black guys who are film students do it, you know.
Right. Yeah,
and so
funny.
It's you can plan it every now and again. But
yeah,
what
but
you're
that's
saying,
playing
Randy,
against
is,
it.
It's got to be green light. Where do you set up your green light? So you can try to surprise
the other
person.
That's why we love just riffing. It is why, I'll say this last thing, and then we'll get into a story, is the moment where you played James Franklin, I watched this, and came to
Penn State
and showed up in front of the players and started, you were just
I did the Thursday meeting.
He was James Franklin for the thing, and then revealed that you are who you are to them, and they went nuts. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And as a Penn State graduate, that must have been the greatest
thing. It was such a, that's one of those great times where a dream comes true you didn't know you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
A dream,
right.
You know, when I was younger, I always thought, oh, maybe one day I'd be able to go stand on the sideline next to Paterno.
Yeah.
Sure.
But to be the coach?
Maybe one day I could cover up Sandusky.
I could look the other way.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That is amazing, and they're amazing, and if you can see it online, you got to check. Well, let me explain what this show is. So the world is getting dumber, as we all understand it.
100%.
Our way to combat it is through comedy.
Yeah.
To understand it.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. Right. So
I heard a story today. Can I get in?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, jump in.
So driving here on NPR, somebody was being interviewed about what our new social media etiquette should be, and that we should. I can't even remember the term anymore, but he said, if you want to do fact checking, or we should kind of be doing editing, the interviewer was saying, should we be all little editors now? And he said, well, it shouldn't have to be that. But one thing, he said no, and then he answered in a yes. Yeah. He said, no, it shouldn't be that. But what you could do is reverse check photos. And if you see, which I don't know how to do yet, but he said, if you do that, you can check and see if a photo existed 5 years ago.
Mm.
If it existed 18 hours ago,
right,
it might not be real. Because there was literally a man on Fox News, literally a man, saying, it was crazy, man. I saw this happening over there after Irma. I saw a shark on a highway.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Right. You didn't see a shark.
You saw a Sharknado.
You saw a shark. Yeah. You're telling us you saw a shark. And then he said, and the woman says, a Sharknado. He goes, literally, I saw a Sharknado.
Yeah.
You didn't, sir. It's a doctored photo. That can't happen.
You got it wrong. And that's all the news that's being fed to our president.
Exactly.
So so we have our dumb boots on the ground, and they find stories and send them to Dan. We don't know what the story is. You, me, Jay, we have no idea.
We have no idea.
Dan has broken it down, and then we will now get into
it. Ready to do one?
Let's do one.
Okay.
We got Keegan here.
This was sent in by Matt Armstrong at Velvet R. Presley.
Mm-hmm.
That's a painting on a wall, right?
Yes, it is.
It's got to be. It's got to be. He hashtagged Dumb People Town at Danny Van Kirk and sent me this. I will also tell you guys, this story that I'm about to tell you, I've received more this time, this one more than any other story that's ever come out.
People
I had
sent
people
you.
Texting this story to me.
Yeah, I
think
it.
You might have sent it to me at one point.
Yeah.
Firefighters were called after a woman ended up stuck upside down, hanging out of a window after she got wedged while trying to retrieve her own feces.
Okay.
That's where we're at, guys.
Keegan's
talk,
face right
talk
now.
About a surprise. Yeah, yeah, that is not what I was expecting to hear.
She's
upside down, wedged in a window.
We're called after a woman ended upside down, stuck upside down, hanging out of a window after she got wedged in that window while trying to retrieve her own feces.
Okay, so her feces, right, would have had to been outside the window.
Right. But and the rule is, you let your feces go. If it comes back to you,
it was meant to be.
It's yours forever. Don't reach for your own shit.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Never reach for your own shit. That's what servants are for.
And by the way, we all have just accepted the fact that this woman pooped out a window. Everyone's well, that's
we didn't even miss a breath.
That's cool. Get that part
we
of it.
That. Here's what happened.
To me, when the feces is out the window, like that could be a phrase. Like at this point,
guys, the shit's out the window.
Shit's out the window on this one.
Shit's out the window on this one.
We have to move on. No way to save it.
Because when shit hits the fan, it means we have to deal with it. When it's out the window,
that's done. We're done with it. We're
shit's
done.
Out the window.
Next thing. Next topic.
I hope there's one great stepdad listening to this podcast who's going to start telling his stepkids, guys, shit's out the
window.
Shit's
out the window,
guys. Shit's out the window on Chuck E. Cheese. We're not going.
If he really wants to get the kids, he should say feces. Yeah. That's what it'll get. That'll really creep them out. That'll skeeve them out. Guys, the feces out the window. Tom. Hey, Tom. Please,
Tom, stop saying feces. It's weird.
What are you going to do, Deb?
Mom.
Mom,
it's not my real dad.
But here's the other thing. So she... What?
Yep.
This sounds like the kind of woman who must have eaten an engagement ring or a precious stone.
Yeah, there's something
because
in
otherwise,
the,
why are we reaching that out? Where... Why are we reaching out the window? And I'm imagining that there's a Japanese maple out there, and the species, you know, we'll say it's an evergreen tree.
Yeah,
probably because if it's coniferous, it probably doesn't have any leaves.
Well,
or if it's deciduous, it has no leaves. But if it's coniferous, it's stuck in there. She could see it.
Sure.
Because the thing is. Okay, we'll just forgive the fact that you pooped out the window.
Yeah,
that
we'll
you defecated
that.
Out the window. We'll give you that.
Back
we'll give that to you. Right. That's for free. But if you...
What are you reaching
why
for?
Why are you reaching
what
for?
What are you reaching
here
for?
Here we go. Liam, a postgraduate studying sociology at Bristol University...
This is England. Okay.
Yes, tells the story.
Mm-hmm.
I recently took a girl I met on Tinder to dinner. Mm. We had a lovely evening We had a lovely evening and enjoyed each other's company very
You're
much.
You're using Tinder wrong.
No,
yeah. There should be no wrong. Evening
no
involved.
Dinner.
No
There's
evening.
No dinner.
It's like anytime you see an exterior shot in a porno. You're like, I don't want to know what time of day it is. I don't need geography.
Oh, it's a Georgian or a Tudor? Oh, nice. Oh, I'm glad that you showed me that house.
Yeah, right, thank you.
Let's get inside.
We had a meal at a well-known chicken restaurant, had a few beers, and
Churches.
Then gone back to mine for a bottle of wine and a Scientology documentary.
Oh,
no.
Dear.
Going clear. A lot of layers to this.
This guy's going clear.
He's
trying to read her e-meter.
About an hour in, my date got up and used the toilet. She returned with a panicked look in her eye and told me she had something to tell me.
Oh, God.
Quote.
It's a first date, Tinder date.
Yeah.
I went for a poo in your toilet, she said, and it would not flush. I don't know why I did this, but I panicked. I reached into the toilet bowl, wrapped the crap in tissue paper, and threw it out the window. He said the toilet window opened into a narrow gap separated by another window.
Oh.
Yes.
So she threw it into someone else.
Quote, it was into this twilight zone. Ready? This is what he said. Quote, it was into this twilight zone that my date had thrown her poop.
I don't know if it was. That's a little grandiose. Into the twilight zone.
It's simply another. It's just a very, very slender egress.
So this girl is on a Tinder date. It seems to be going very well. They're into wine and Scientology together.
Wineology.
She goes. That's a great podcast.
Thank you.
Wineology.
She goes to the bathroom, cannot flush her business, decides, I'm just going to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Throws it out the window, realizes it doesn't go anywhere. It just drops to the bottom of the sill because there's another window on the other side.
Right. Ooh.
So now she says, this poor girl is like, I can't leave shit in this guy's house.
Mm-mm.
Literally.
Mm-mm.
So she has to go out and tell this guy, here's the person I am on the inside.
Yeah.
Look what I did.
Yes.
If they get married, I mean, this is a point where you either are like, I love you for life or we're done here.
For her to be able... To tell him, that means something. That's significant.
She's amazing.
That's an amazing person to say. It was going so well.
Right.
I panicked, and all I could see was gray.
Right.
And all my common sense, not red, gray. Right.
Gray.
I just saw gray.
It's just a mist.
Guys, the shit's out the window. You're seeing gray.
Shit's out the window.
So, I mean, the thing is, you're right. That's it.
That's
you're
just what gonna it
go, you might. I think you're the one for me.
Because if you can look at a person and go, I'm about to tell you something, and you're worth more than what it's going to cost me
to give this information.
To give the information to you.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm going to take a hit here.
That's
I'm
kind pure of, sharing.
Okay. So I'm kind of on this woman's side.
I love this woman.
I am too. Yes.
Until she...
Okay. He, Liam, went to find a hammer to smash the window.
Okay.
A little bit over.
Wow. All right. Do we have to go that far?
But while he was gone looking for the hammer,
she went out.
She decided to climb into the window head first.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
You ready
for the... She didn't want him to see the poop.
You ready for these next four words? Mm-hmm. Being an amateur gymnast...
My daughter's in gymnastics.
Yeah. Your daughter's an amateur gymnast.
She's an amateur gymnast.
Yes.
I mean, an amateur gymnast.
I'm going to go on the record and say your daughter was smaller than this woman and they should have employed her for this task.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is Georgia? Yeah. Get over there.
Being an amateur gymnast, she was convinced that she could reach into the window and pull the poop out.
She got an 8.0 on the poop.
She was using the tried and tested inside out bag as a glove. So that's a pro move.
That's a pro move. You got a dog.
Yeah, that's a good standard classic move.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she couldn't reach. She climbed further in and had the same problem. Eventually, Liam agreed to give her a boost up into the window further.
Mm-hmm.
She climbed in head first after, this is a quote, she climbed in head first after her own turd reached deeper into the window, bagged it up, and tossed it out over the top back to him.
Wow. So he is talk about intimate. He's left holding the bag. Literally.
Guys, shit's in the window. Shit's back in the window.
Shit's back in the window. We are going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Guys, I don't know what you did. You turned your attitudes around. Right. Shit's back in the house.
I'm going to go do some skee balling, and you guys get extra tickets.
Guys, you guys go
you
up
guys get extra tickets.
Get caught in the human habit trail. We're going to drink some beer.
These people have known each other at best,
four hours. At best.
At best. And she is upside down in the window handing him her poop.
Shit.
It is Europe, so they eat dinner for longer. I'm going to give them six.
Okay. Give them six hours.
Let's say the conversation at dinner was stimulating. Again, now what Tinder's for.
Right.
But yes.
Still.
Although a lot of Tinder dates too do probably include, here, do you have my poop? Take my poop.
Exactly.
Do you have my poop?
That's very true, Dan. Yeah.
So
well
she's
spoken.
Reaching back. You got it? I got it. You got it?
I got it.
I got your poop.
Can't hear you.
This is a great first date.
Yeah.
Did you pause the documentary on Scientology?
I did. They just got to the sizzling part of Leah Remini's
interview.
Her Sea Org days.
Sea Org, when she was at Sea Org, moving railroad beams to build.
And they let the fire ants go all over.
She hands it back. She called out to me to help her climb out of the window. I grabbed her waist and I pulled, but she was stuck. Are you guys ready for this photo?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be posted on the Facebook page, which now we have over 11,000 likes on our
Facebook. Oh,
look at this woman stuck in this window, upside down.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. All the blood rushing to her British face.
She's just jammed in.
And her hand is on the glass as if to say,
let me out.
Please, like when you go to the zoo and there's like an animal.
There's an orangutan?
Yeah,
just like, I can't.
A hand on the glass.
Look at that.
That's like, if I was out of here, I'd probably rip your face off.
No pain.
No gain, no pain. Yeah.
Unfortunately, for my date, at this stage, I could see only one way out of our predicament. I love that he thinks we're in it.
Yeah.
She's been handling shit upside down in her window, but we're in it together.
We're both in it.
You know, that's like the guy's like, we're having our baby.
It's like, no, you're not doing shit.
Yeah, exactly. We're having our baby.
Yeah.
You're going to run out and get me some
food.
It's
like when a waiter at a restaurant turns the chair around and sits down and is like,
what are we having, guys?
Oh, you're eating with us?
What are we having?
What do you have? You might not. Should you order for us?
Yeah.
Make sure you get in what you want.
We need some refills here.
Yeah.
Do we need refills?
Are we getting?
Unfortunately for my date, at this stage, I could see only one way out of our predicament. I was starting to grow concerned, so I called the fire brigade, and once they had composed themselves, they set to work removing her from the window.
So they came in, cracked up,
had a good laugh,
laughed their asses off, and then
they're like, we got to get down to work.
He said,
guys, those guys see such horrific things.
Yeah.
They do. Every now and again, you need a good laugh.
Of course.
Look, yeah. She did what?
She did what?
She grabbed a poo.
She dropped a poo right down.
Probably wasn't
the
a good idea, was it?
Yeah.
That rhetorical, my favorite, the rhetorical English question. Yeah.
She's in the window, isn't it?
Right, right. Probably shouldn't have gotten there, should she?
Shouldn't have been so impetuous.
So cavalier with her poo, right?
Probably wasn't a good idea to throw the shit up there in the first place, was it?
Was it? Was it?
Was it? Was it?
We're in a bit of a tight spot, isn't it? Right?
It's time for you to Brexit this relationship, mate.
Brexit this relationship.
Well, you really like her then, don't you?
Not going to soon forget this date.
She's a big one, isn't she?
I'm talking about the poop.
Yeah. We're all talking about the poop.
Amateur.
They sent to work remove for the window. They end up getting her out of the window. Jesus. They had to remove the entire, they had to break the window out of the frame
to get
her out.
Oh my God.
But amateur gymnast landed on her feet.
So of course,
quote, I'm not complaining. They did what they had to do, Liam says. Problem is, I've been quoted north of 300 pounds to replace the window. Liam,
she's been quoted north of 300 pounds. That's why she got stuck in that window.
This is where our people in Dumb People Town come in. Liam has turned to the internet for help to raise 300 pounds.
He's crowdsourcing this?
The broken window.
Yeah, go fund me.
He's making an independent film.
If by some miracle I managed to raise, this is where he's at. This is where Liam gets his star. If by some miracle I managed to raise more money than 300 pounds through this GoFundMe page,
I'm giving it to IBS.
Any remainder will be split 50-50 between two charities. First, Toilet Twinning, a charity building and maintaining flushing toilets for the developing world, because 60% of the world does not have toilets.
Excellent.
Okay, that's good.
Second, to the firefighters charity. Liam told the Bristol Post that despite the...
Oh, I like this guy.
Yeah. He's going to give half to the firemen in their charity, half to creating toilets around the world.
I love both these
guys. These have to stay together.
These are two of my favorite people.
They got to stay together.
They have to. Yeah.
They're stronger together.
Well, according to that, Liam told the Bristol Post that despite this date's awkward ending, he did see the woman again.
Oh.
Quote, we did go and meet for a drink and discuss setting up another crowdfunder. I don't know what that's for. Mm-hmm. Quote, she's a lovely girl. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
I'm not sure what's going to happen means it ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
That's the first step. Here's the other shoe. I'm really busy right now with my dissertation.
That means I'm not going to return any of her phone calls.
Oh, right. God, I love that.
I'm not sure.
It's so area. What an erudite way to dump somebody.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. Really busy with my dissertation.
I've got a huge dissertation.
Sorry. I've got to defend
it. Takes up a lot of my time, though, doesn't it?
Dissertation, lots of...
Going to be hard. Got to defend it, right?
Big, really, really large document, isn't it?
Got to really get in there and figure out.
But then he kind of comes back around with a little, you know, he hits the little glove and then a little flower on the end. He goes, I'm not sure it's going to happen. I'm really busy with my dissertation at the moment, but I'd certainly be open to seeing her again.
Well,
I think
nice.
He means on the street.
Yeah.
I think waving with the hand that she put poop in.
That held the poop.
And he does not break stride.
Keep going. Yeah. Oh, dissertation!
I told you that, didn't I?
Dissertation, sorry, good to see you.
But you're drinking in a bar right now.
Oh, right. Moving the thoughts around. A bit, you know.
Working things out in me head.
Another bill.
We're going to get out of here on this. As of the time that I wrote up this story and put it all together, how much money has his GoFundMe raised in U.S. dollars?
In U.S. dollars.
Now, Keegan, you are our guest, so you have the option to go first, last, or second, which is the Tignataro slot.
Right in between me and Jason. So we all guess. The three of us guess. So you want to go first?
I'm grabbing the Tig.
Okay,
I'll take
middle.
The Tig.
Okay. All right. So in U.S. dollars, yes. I think he has raised $250. So
$250,
yes.
Which would not even be enough, I don't think.
No,
that's
it's
not
certainly
even
300
not enough.
Pounds. Go ahead, Jay.
Second is
Keegan.
I'm going to go in United States dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to say he made $1,250 U.S. dollars.
Okay.
I think that it's, yes.
Too big of a score.
I'm going $1,250.
I'm
going
to go higher because I think this story has caught on and since so many people emailed it to you and said it to you. Yeah. I think $2,000.
As of the time that I wrote this and the time that we are recording it, as far as
higher.
I know.
It's going to be way higher.
In U.S. dollars,
no.
Liam and Poop Girl.
Mm-hmm.
They left her name out of the story on purpose.
Of course. God.
I've raised.
Thank God.
$3,697.38.
Oh! Wow.
$3,697.
I think everybody who donated to this thing should also be confronted with donating to. They should also have
they should
to
also
donate
have
to, the
to
flood.
Donate to the twinning toilets.
Yeah. Twinning toilets. And also like Houston and like this
you're giving money to.
I love it. All right, that's first story. In the books. Keegan Michael Key is with us. This is Dumb People Town. That's how we do it. We'll be back right after this.
Stick around, make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town. We got Keegan-Michael Key. If you haven't seen his show on Netflix, it's fantastic.
Friends from College. Oh, so good.
Oh,
dude.
So much fun. Yeah.
So good. Fred Savage.
What a great, how about you, Fred Savage
in the cast?
Colby Smulders.
Nat Faxon.
And Nat Faxon.
Oh, Colby Smulders is so good in that, and it's funny, but it's really deep.
And yeah, and dark, have, and dark.
Dark.
Yeah.
Just, you're in the beginning, you're going back, you're an author there, you wrote, I have a friend who's an author, so I know exactly the entire landscape. The second that Fred Savage, who's your old friend, who's your agent, tries to push a great book idea that you have into the young adult area.
Right.
Because I know from my friend that's the only area in publishing that is growing right now.
Exactly. Everything else is diminishing, yeah.
But how quickly you go back on your ideals is just hysterical. I mean, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
Everybody should be watching
this. It's a great.
Everybody should.
And you've been in New York. You've been doing a show.
I just closed last week. We were doing a production of Hamlet at the Public Theater downtown on Lafayette Street, where Joe Papp and Shakespeare in the Park in New York was created by this guy Joe Papp, who started the Public Theater. So I played Horatio in a production of Hamlet to Oscar
Horatio
Isaac.
Sands?
I played Horatio Sands. Oh. Yeah,
with Oscar Isaac.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac played Hamlet.
Love him.
Yeah, he's fucking amazing.
How
I'm sorry.
Fun was it? No, it's good.
I swear, instead of saying I put on weight to play Horatio Sands, he said that's me. Swearing's one thing, but to say that's me. No. And by the way, Horatio looks very svelte. These days,
he does look good.
So
it was great.
It was just an amazing experience, and it felt like going home. It felt like going home because I'm a theater person. I'm a Shakespearean actor, and I haven't been able to do it. I've been on this very interesting 19-year detour in my career to sketch comedy. A lot of good that did. Didn't really pan out.
Jeez.
Didn't really pan out. I got to make that big money in the theater. That's
theater,
what
man. When's it gonna happen?
I know. But I did that, and then in the midst of that run. I got a call from my agents, and they said, we think we're about to get an offer for you to do a play on Broadway with Amy Schumer, a play written by Steve Martin.
No way.
So I was like, when that offer comes in, just say yes.
Just agree.
And
you don't need to call me back.
Let's just go in that direction.
Yeah.
So I am. So Amy and I and two other amazing actors. So I know you, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk is so sweet.
Laura Benanti, who's just like a Broadway rock star.
Great.
So it's a four-hander. It's just the four of us.
And
Steve Martin wrote it. And Jerry Zaks, who just directed this huge hit, Hello Dolly, with Bette Midler. Mm-hmm. He's directing it.
I don't know Hello Dolly. I've never heard that.
I actually don't know that one.
Ever.
It's a really short show.
Or Bette
you walk
Midler.
On the stage, this woman walks past, Hello Dolly.
And that's the whole show. Can't believe they charge
$140. $140 a ticket
for bad seats.
That's like Roe J and the Mezzanine.
What? So wait, so what's the name of the play?
It's called Meteor Shower.
Great.
Meteor Shower.
I'm going to check it out. I'm so happy for you. But, this is all while other big things come through as well.
And it's been nice that I can do this kind of concentrated amount of theater in this concentrated amount of time, because then we have to run back and do a feature film and hopefully in February and then back to Friends from College.
Oh yeah,
wow. In May.
Nice. So
we got our
another season.
We got our second.
Oh hell yeah, man! I love it. Let's jump into another story because we
before
got.
Before I jump into that, I want to tell you your guys is running Fargo.
Oh, thank you,
season.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that was a lot of fun.
Unreal.
That show is unreal. Okay, here we go. Sent in by Nat Graham.
Nat Graham.
The Nat Faxon of senders.
At Nat, not Nat. NatNotGnAt.
Funny. I like it. I love it.
I like it.
Millie Wauke.
Stoltzion.
Heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin man who doctors say came perilously close to death after accidentally shooting a nail into his heart while working on his house, calmly drove himself to the hospital and even parked his pickup truck in the lot before walking into the emergency room.
Okay, when I had a kidney stone and my kids were young, and I literally was doubled over in pain, I drove myself from Silver Lake to the Glendale Hospital, which is about a mile and a half. And like, parked the car and all that stuff. And as I got in there, everybody in there was like, that is the dumbest thing you could ever do. Why didn't you call an ambulance? This guy had a nail in his fucking
heart.
Oh,
wait till you meet more of this guy. He has patience.
I can't even understand it.
For nothing.
Right.
Nothing phases this guy. Doug Bergeson.
Yep.
How you doing?
I already know him.
How you doing?
Hey, Doug.
Doug Morgeson, good to meet you.
Wisconsin or Minnesota?
Yeah.
Doug, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Ferguson.
That's a really tight grip. I just want to shake
your
hand.
Well, I'm not going to shake it if I don't mean it.
Don't stick it out there if you don't
want it. My dad taught me never give a man a dead fish.
Yeah. Don't stick it out there if you don't want to crush.
Don't offer a guy a dead fish.
Anyway, reason I'm knocking. See how much you wanted for that mailbox out front.
Well, no, that's a mailbox. We're not selling
my mailbox. I need that, sir.
Looks good to me, though.
I'm sure if you went to the nearest Lowe's, you could get a mailbox that looks just like it.
I got to go down there and build myself and put it in. I like what you guys did.
Yeah, but my pinky right now is bent in a way that I can't.
That sounds like a YP, not an MP. Uh-huh. Here we go. Doug Bergeson is ready to get back to work. God damn it. I put in the god damn it.
God damn it.
This week, after surviving a June 25th ordeal that others might not have taken in such stride, Bergeson told the Associated Press he was working on framing in a fireplace at his house near... Jesus. Peshtigo in northeast Wisconsin.
No, not Peshtigo.
I know.
Oh, man. He told everyone that he was framing the fireplace that weekend.
Absolutely.
Of course he
gonna
did.
Gonna go frame that fireplace this week.
All right, gotta get going. Fireplace ain't gonna frame itself,
okay,
you know?
Okay, all right. We know that's what you're doing.
When his nail gun accidentally fired, sending a nail ricocheting off some wood and into his chest, which means it was like, huh?
What the hell's that there? What's going on there? That's in the old ticker.
That's not good.
That's in the ticker.
No. Bethel. No. We got to go. No, it's not the dog. It's me.
I got a nail
She's
in
fine.
My heart. I got a nail in my heart.
He's like a big squeeze.
This
fan.
Is what he says.
Another nail for my heart.
I thought it just nicked me. I looked down. I couldn't see anything, Bergeson said in an interview Tuesday. I felt okay. I wasn't worried about the injury. I couldn't feel any pressure or blood building up as he tugged.
What? How would you know that?
I don't know.
This guy's a Renaissance man. He can frame.
Yes.
Frame a fireplace and do internal medicine.
I thought about pulling it out and putting a leech on it and finishing up that goddamn fireplace. As he tugged at his sweatshirt.
About going in laparoscopically and just taking this nail out.
Exactly. As he tugged. Here, I lost it really quick. Okay. Sorry about that. As he tugged at his sweatshirt, Bergeson, 52 years old, said he realized only about 1 inch of the 3.5-inch nail was sticking out of his chest.
Ho!
Yeah. Ooh. I am now going to show you guys a picture.
Of Doug Bergeson
laying on a hospital bed.
Oh. Hello, Doug. 52.
It's like,
yeah.
If Doug, don't kick your ass. I'll tell you this.
If you were
to unwrap a mummy and Doug Bergeson's face was there, you'd be like, yeah,
that guy's been around for a thousand years. That guy's about 2,800 years old.
Yeah.
That's about the rate of desiccation.
He's way too calm. Listen to his next quote. I could see the nail moving with my heartbeat. It was kind of twitching with every heartbeat.
Aye.
And he still was like, I guess I got to stop. Yeah. He was more annoyed than worried. He knew he had to go to the ER.
Unbelievable.
He's like, God damn it.
I just want to finish this fireplace.
You know, if you call an ambulance, the ER comes to you. They can start doing things to you as you're heading to the hospital.
You know that when you went and told Bethel, even with the nail right here below the nipple, he still crossed his arms in front of his chest.
Into the nail.
Yes.
Into the nail. Driving it in.
Well, I guess I got to go.
Okay, light's not going to get any greener.
He's waiting for the light.
I was frustrated because I knew I wasn't going to get home until late and I couldn't get anything done. That is a quote.
This nail in his heart is really putting a damper on framing this.
Well, he's got errands to run, guys.
Yeah, he's got
Doug Bergeson said,
stuff to do.
He also said that common sense told him not to pull the nail out.
Yeah.
It was common sense. Yeah. Not primal.
No.
Not a primal survival urge.
And also, common sense showed up about an hour too late.
Right.
After common sense said, don't aim a nail gun at a heart.
Ricocheted off the wood. Yes. It's not his fault.
I know, but still.
Still, be careful.
Yeah.
He says, so he washed up. Hopped in his
washed
truck.
Washed up.
Yeah. He was like, guess I'll take a shower. I got blood all over me.
Can't go to the ER with dirty hands.
He washed up, hopped in his truck, and made his way to the Bay Area Medical Center in Marionette, about 10 minutes away. Probably was 10 miles. There's no traffic up there. After parking his truck and walking into the ER, Bergeson said he started to feel more pain and summoned a security guard for help. I ain't going to no goddamn nurse. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Don't trust those doctors.
I'll tell a man with a gun that I need
that
help.
That guy knows where to take me. That guy knows which way to go.
Hey, maybe he can shoot it out.
This is what he said. Quote, this is what he told the guard. If you could find someone, that'd be great. I'm going to go sit down. That is a direct Quote.
Amazing.
Still thinking he would soon be on his way home. Can we wrap it up?
Yeah, after you can see him laying on the bed there.
Yeah, after a little medical attention, Bergeson texted his wife, Donna. Perfect. Perfect.
Donna.
Look at this. Why does he text her? Not to say how he's doing. Not to say, you know, oh, you were right. I should have gone. None of that. Texted Donna to, quote, bring him a new shirt because medical staff had cut off the one he was wearing.
You know my favorite shirt? They done screwed it up. The security guard.
Number two, I guess. Get number two.
They couldn't have just unbuttoned it. I moved my arm for him. But they said, no, we got to get in there quick.
Cut it out. I said, don't cut it.
It took longer to cut it than it did to unbutton it.
I think when they were like, sir, we need to cut this off, he was like, why?
I could just take it off.
I put it on when the nail was in there. I was working
jacks. That's why we got 2 full inches inside my chest. Just let me do it.
Listen to this. After x-rays were taken, did you imagine the nurses being like, sir, you need to take this more seriously. After x-rays were taken, Doug Bergeson was rushed by ambulance to another hospital in Green Bay.
Jeez.
Do you ready for this part? Yeah, so they tell him, we're putting you in another ambulance. You are being transported to the Green Bay Hospital. This is serious. Quote, I offered to drive myself, but they wouldn't let me.
I'll drive the ambulance. You sit in back. You deal with what you got to deal with. Organize
organize your gauze and your swabs.
I'm going to tell you guys something I already can tell you from this story about Doug Bergeson. He eats the bones.
Yes, he does. Yeah. The marrow, the bones, all the gristle, the whole nine yards. He's not leaving anything on that plate.
I can't believe this plate is clean. That was a full chicken that you had right there.
I ate the plate. Dr. Alexander Royston confirmed the nail hit Bergeson's heart, saying it was 1/16 of an inch from a major artery. He said it was difficult to assess how deeply the nail penetrated, but the nail left bruising and a nail-sized hole. That checks out.
Yeah.
He commended Bergeson for not pulling the nail out and letting doctors handle it. It shows the great composure this gentleman had after a very bad day's experience. Bergeson spent 2 days in the hospital, which you know he bitched about.
Hated every minute of it. But by the way, surviving a nail in the heart, this guy had a lot of confidence before this happened.
Absolutely.
Now he's right about everything. He's untouchable.
Nobody frames a fireplace by themselves. That's
right. I bet they walked into his hospital room. He was framing a fireplace
right there.
It would work somewhere, goddammit.
I put some shells up here for you.
He spent 2 days in the hospital and has been recovering at his home since the incident. He will finally be able to return to work. If they're citing that, it's because it's all he keeps saying. This week at the Village of Lena Waterworks plant. Mm-hmm. I wish it was a water park. He also has a vegetable farm and a construction repair business.
Yeah.
This is him telling
construction repair.
Yeah. So I'll come in and repair all this stuff.
All the things you did wrong, I'll fix it.
Are you mad with your awning?
I'll fix it.
Yeah, the soffit leaking? I'm in.
I go straight to the heart of the problem.
Right. He said, quote,
I'll definitely nail the heart of your problem.
He let him have it.
He will take it.
I feel pretty good. He says, quote, I'm back doing things carefully, he said. It was a pretty awakening experience.
Mm-hmm. Sure. He's woke as fuck. This guy.
There we go.
He is woke. He's straight woke.
All right. We got one more little story coming back after the break. Keegan Michael Key is with us, and this is Dumb People Town. Stay with us.
Stick around, make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
All right, guys, welcome back to DPT, Dumb People Town. I want to quickly mention, hey, tickets on sale right now. Bell House, February 25th. We got the girls from Guys We Fucked. They're going to be on our podcast. If we sell that out, going to get another guest in New York. Who knows? Maybe it'll be Keegan-Michael Key live. You never know. Might be in New York City then, but check that out.
It's going to be a Sunday night, so he would have done a matinee
of the
Steve Martin show, and then boom, that night.
And,
you never know.
Before that, the 17th and 18th of November, people can check out a live Dumb People Town at the Come and Take It Comedy Festival in Houston.
Yes, Houston.
You want to give back to that community? Come back, spend some money in that town,
get into the infrastructure.
Spend some money on a cocktails or even spend some money on water. I don't care what you do.
Whatever you do.
Can give back to that community that way by coming and come to that festival. So that's the Come and Take It Festival.
All right, we got one more story.
Yes.
All right.
Here we go. This was sent in by John Christensen at, I'm not even going to try, P-R-A-E-F-U-R-O, Prefuro?
Prefuro.
Pray for us.
That's smarter than me.
Our Lady of... Pray for sorrow.
Perfect. That works for this story. Mm-hmm. A couple I'm just going to read it to you. A couple transporting a barbecue grill in their car were injured Sunday after their rental sport utility vehicle exploded.
Okay.
Authorities say the crash happened at 3:30 p.m. near the entrance of the Central Florida Fairgrounds. This is the state fair.
Mm-hmm. What is at a state fair in Florida? They're selling babies on the black market. Am I right?
Yes.
Baby.
I got me a baby right here. You want a baby?
A pig in overalls.
Each baby you get comes with two guns.
And a giant turkey leg.
Yep, absolutely.
They have like a dolphin pie bake-off.
Elephant ears. Yep.
And they're literally elephant ears.
Literally.
Yes. They have a shoot-off on the hour. Mm-hmm. You just, wherever you're at, pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop, pop.
Little fair pop.
Yep.
Little fair pop.
Two Live Crew just playing.
Yep, yeah, for sure.
ZZ Top, like Coke, like Frosted Coke mirror.
Jump around. House of Pain.
House of Pain.
This took place at the Central Florida Fairgrounds near Colonial Drive and Pete Parrish Boulevard. We can add that to the Dumb People Town walking tour.
Add it to the walking tour.
The couple, I love these names, Pierre Dadiel and Magdalene de Source.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you went straight to de Source on that
one. So they're Quebecois.
Yeah.
I loved her.
Montreal.
I can't believe she got into a fight at the Source Awards.
At the Source Awards. With Snoop at the Source Awards.
They had the grill in the back of their red Kia Sorento, Orlando Police Lieutenant Cindy Lane said.
Well, a grill isn't just going to blow up.
No. There's
the
more
grill
to the story.
Was turned on.
Yep.
And the propane tank was open and connected.
Yep.
Police said the wife then started to light a cigarette in the SUV.
Yes.
I don't understand. She's like, let me light up here. I just don't understand why we're grilling on the way.
I'm just going to toss this butt back in the cab. To the back of the cab, if you don't mind. I'm done. I'm cutting back at my cigarettes.
She's driving. Yep. He's cooking butterfly pork chops on the grill.
Honey, she's driving.
We're going to sell these as soon as we get there.
Right out the back of the Kia.
I spatchcocked the chicken.
She started to light a cigarette. Do you think he was like, duh, honey?
No, he's probably going, wait, are those my Winstons?
That was when the SUV exploded.
Yeah.
So they got to the state fair really quickly.
Here's my favorite thing. The vehicle continued heading west and then crashed into a pole. I'm going to show you guys a picture. This car exploded. Then imagine you're driving and this happens next to you. Look at this SUV. The roof is blown off.
Right.
It is blown upward like it's a camper van with a tent on top.
That SUV looks like it has a faux hawk.
Yes, totally.
It's a shark.
And it smells delicious.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Fresh cooked delicious, like just pork cracklings.
Yeah,
pork
the grill marks on the top of the roof.
The best.
Oh, my God.
Both occupants were burned, but police said their injuries were not life-threatening. That's how we can make jokes about it.
Thank
They're going to be fine.
Right.
They're going to live to make stupid mistakes again.
It's not a social Darwinism issue.
The vehicle was really damaged. The photo that we saw shows the roof partially blown off, the windshield missing, and dents. The windshield went straight out.
Just gone.
Yeah. Straight off.
Jesus.
The explosion caused damage to another vehicle that was driving alongside. Look at that. I like Kias. Honey, look over at this Kia.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
You know what else? Like, maroon's a good color. We want to get a maroon car.
Here's where you get into Dumb People Town. Pierre Daladale had an active warrant for his arrest on fleeing and eluding charge. So they roll up.
He's
like, little help. What's your name? What's your name first, my man?
You tell me who you are, we'll tell you how much help we're going to give you.
Right.
We got a new house for you and everything.
Yeah, I got a ride for you.
I got a ride, new accommodations, everything. Yeah,
sure. He was arrested Sunday and was being held without bail in the Orange County Jail on Monday on that charge and the charge of resisting arrest without violence, which means he got on fire, found out the cops are there, and tried to run.
Right, exactly.
All right, we're going to get out of here. This is where we're going to end the show. I'm going to ask you guys right now, how old is Pierre Dadiel?
Too much fun leaves marks in life. Living hard, you'll pay the price. Who is going to get it right? Guess the age.
Ooh. All right, now he's driving. He's going to the fairgrounds on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. He's got priors. He's got a woman and a grill cooking in a rented Kia Sportage.
Mm-hmm. A rented Kia Sportage.
Yes.
So, can I go third on this one?
Yeah, of course you can.
All right, I'm going to say the guy's 36 years old.
36 years old from Jason Sklar.
I'm going to say the guy's 44.
44.
He's lived a life. He's got some priors.
Randy Sklar.
I'm flipping Jason's.
Yeah.
I'm going the guy's 63.
No! I like that.
I love it.
Pierre Dadiel and if you're listening at home, feel free to play along, is 39 years old.
39!
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to split the difference, Keegan. I was like, he's going
to
hit the
I was going to try. I had to go with my gut, and my gut initially said, he's going to, he's really, really, what got me. Randy got me when Randy said he lived a life. He said he's lived a life. I went, yes, he has.
But he could at 39 have lived like two lives.
Yeah, that's true. If you're that kind of guy.
You think about what we did when we were 39. Like, this guy led two of those lives.
Yes,
speaking of living a life, and before we really get out of here, speaking of living a life, it is those mistakes that you make. And you've got, you're broken the law, and then you make a stupid mistake like that, either just being with a woman who's smoking while you got a grill turned on in the back.
Sure.
That is going to catch you. Someone who has made his fair share of mistakes, but never gets caught. Robert Durst has something to say about this, and he left us a voicemail. Let's listen to it right now.
You have one new voice message.
Hi, Sklar Brothers. It's me, Robert Durst. Call me Bobby D. Call and I'm in town for like a citation court thing. It's not a big deal. If it was a big deal, am I the guy who's responsible? Would a guy wear a sweater like I wear if he were responsible? I don't think so. Anyway, calling you guys, I know you lived in New York. Would you help me find Douglas? He's my brother, and I just want to reconnect. Side note, I sell knives. I have a collection of knives that I'm trying to unload. They come dull because the sharpening process makes you love it. I say, sharpen your knife, happy wife. It's irrelevant. All right, I gotta go. Let me know if you talk to Douglas. And if you ever need a friend, tell me, I'll follow you anywhere. Bye-bye. Would you say wife? The wife part. They're going to latch onto that. What'd you do? You sharpened a knife and you stabbed her. I shouldn't even, don't even bring up wife. No, no, wife's fine. Oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't know
once again,
that he was
didn't
still
realize not, that he was.
No,
still.
I don't know. It's interesting because he was taping it himself.
Right.
He recorded so he should know.
He should know when he's hanging up. When he's hanging up. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
I feel like he probably doesn't know how to edit.
No,
I don't think. In a professional pursuit or life.
Yeah.
Keegan-Michael Key, you are the man. I'm so happy you came and did this.
Thank you for being
Lars.
Love it. Open invite, baby. Open invite.
I'll see you in New York. I'm going to race over from that matinee.
I'm telling you, either way, if we are back in New York for anything, we're going to come find you and have drinks with you.
I think it's come a great idea.
Check out Friends from College on Netflix. Watch that whole first season. Get you prepped for the next one that's going to be. See him on Broadway.
It's four fun-filled hours of your life. That's it.
You'll love it. You will love that show. And guys, thank you. We got to get back to work.
Let's do it. Let's get to work. All right. Dum, 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 dum.